And we are very pleased to be joined by the, what do we call you guys, the brain trust of the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service?
You couldn't get them, so you got us.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Chief Tom Nelson and Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Board Chair Brad Ness. Good morning, you intrepid gentlemen. Thank you for being here in the middle of what was billed to be the snowstorm of the century.
It's good to be here. The only thing that disappointed me as I walked in is, you know, Jeff would have had the sidewalk cleared, don't you think, Brad?
I think so.
Totally. He would have.
Yep, I had to step over that drift, and I put my feet in the same holes that Brad used, I think, but I pushed them down because I'm heavier, but I appreciated him blazing the trail.
Well, here's the thing, though. People who listen have listened every day for the last 3 years have figured this out. The first time I sat in for Jeff for a week, I tried to be Jeff Johnson left and right and just come, you know, hit every spot and do everything that he would do, say the things he would say. And by the end of the week, I realized, you know what? I'm not Jeff Johnson.
Yeah, it's like trying to be Don McRae. For
right?
Those of us that have been around exactly, a while, you right? know, it's a good bar to have, but it's tough.
Exactly. Therefore, the snow is the sidewalk.
And this is radio, so no one can really see out there. So the one thing, exactly. Having a spouse is great. My wife gave me some feedback, which I love getting feedback. You don't always love to hear it, but she said, you know what you say a lot on the radio? And I said, what? She said, you say, they're a townie, and I've known them all my life. Well, so that sentence I'm not going to say today.
Well, you just did.
Well, it was a quote, though. Yeah.
That's part of your charm, though. That's I rely on people like you and like you as well, Mr. Ness. I've only lived in Northfield for 22 years.
Oh, you just came to town then.
Right, I'm a baby, right?
Brad and I still come in here and think we're going to get a shot from Dr. Street or Dr.
Exactly.
Halverson or Dr.
Exactly.
Kuchera in
exactly.
this building.
Yeah, so. There are four or five of you that I know fairly well that all grew up in Northfield and all are of a, well, let's just say a certain age.
Certain age.
Right? You know, you have a healthy understanding of the history of the town. And I rely on people like you to kind of give me context on some of the stuff. So when you talk about they're a townie and you've known them all your life, I appreciate that, man. So
now that time's up, thanks for having
us. Yeah, okay. All right. Brad Ness and Tom Nelson.
So, Brad, here's a question for you, a little trivia, because we were talking about something offline before you said about the Wednesdays. There used to be something on the top of the old police station, which is just a few buildings down here, that did something when there was a fire call. Do you remember?
The fire whistle.
It did. There was, who knows, it may very well still be up there. But there was a siren on top of, it's now the Arts Guild.
Yeah.
Because that was the City Hall police station.
Yep. Fire
and
Hall
the fire station was this way.
Next door.
Yep.
We had an honest-to-God fire
there
whistle.
There was a fire whistle that went off. And the
That's
other
fantastic.
Thing that it did... Jim Becker worked for the phone company. He designed a system that made everyone's phone ring steady. So when your phone rang steady, you'd go and pick it up and you'd hear the dispatcher at the safety center say where the fire was.
Oh, really?
So yeah, a little bit of trivia.
That I don't
today.
Remember.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Huh.
So
you'd
I thought,
get in a lot of trouble for doing that these days. People would
well,
would,
it was only during the day.
Okay,
they
well,
wouldn't be after hours, but
you'd have people talking about invasion to privacy, and I don't care.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. No, that was a thing of the past.
Yeah,
I told Brad last night we were talking. Yes, we are going to come down.
Yeah,
and you know, kind of that. What are you going to talk about? I don't like thinking too far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's only 200 days until the school starts in the fall, having a long summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing that's going to be happening then, second weekend of September. What's going on, Brad?
Defeat of Jesse James days.
Start the countdown, 200 days from today.
And right. So there's going to be, you know, the parade.
Yeah.
You know, so think how hot it's been over the summer and... The days are long, and we're going to be doing that. So that's something that we have all to look forward to.
As a Northfielder, although not the qualified Northfielder that you guys are, as a Northfielder, I love the defeat of Jesse James days. As a retired bartender, I love the defeat of Jesse James days. As an active bartender, I didn't love it so much. But I'm also really, like, the parade to me is also one of the saddest days of the year for me. Because I am a guy who suffers through winter. I do not enjoy this at all. My favorite time of the year hits April 1st when you can start to feel spring in the air and baseball's coming.
It is kind of the close of the season.
Yeah. And the parade for me is sort of, well, that's where we call summer.
We start changing.
Exactly. So it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful thing. You celebrate, it's great. And then I go home and I shed a couple of tears.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I always remember that after, you know, Jesse James days, then it's go back to school.
Yep. Right.
School's gone. Yep. So
yeah, you got school the next day.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So a little bit on the serious note. Mm-hmm. So we always want to learn something. Brad and I talked offline. It wasn't a super memorable or remarkable Joint Powers Board meeting for February. We're still kind of getting into the year.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit. One of the things we did talk about at that meeting is fee schedules as part of fire code enforcement in Northfield Dundas and the surrounding townships. And so I thought I'd give a little bit, we could talk a little bit about occupancies, and then we're going to talk about a couple occupancies that are first on the list to get enforced in our district
okay.
that we really need to look at.
I'm interested to hear about this.
Wonderful. So first, I want to ask you folks, so there are different letters of occupancy. We're going to go through these quickly. But so what would you think an E occupancy is? So it's a type of building that has something to do with E.
Entertainment.
Too close.
School
buses go there.
School?
Oh, that was a softball. So E's are educational occupancy.
Education. Well, there we go. Entertainment, education. Pretty
yeah. Awesome. So that leads back entertainment.
In my case.
Yeah, come on. Then let's talk about A occupancies. A, you were thinking entertainment.
Assembly.
Where people gather.
Oh, okay.
So that's an important one. I think of nursing homes and hospitals.
Institutional.
Yep.
Wow.
R is an easy one.
Residential,
and there's four different types. There's R1, which are motel hotels, because people don't stay in them very long.
Yeah.
R2 is multifamily mm-hmm. apartment buildings. R3, single family homes, mm-hmm. which fire enforcement really has no authority because that's your castle. R4 are halfway houses and treatment facilities. Just little fun facts to know. M, there's a lot of them along this division street. M, it's a weird word that's pretty old school. Mercantile.
I was going to say retail. So, yeah.
Yeah. B, business occupancy. S, storage. F, factory. So, fun facts to know.
Huh.
We're going to talk a little bit. The two places where most fire deaths are of all those occupancies are where people sleep.
Yep.
So, those are R's.
And where they assemble.
Yeah. So Tuesday, was that the 20th?
Yes,
February 20th, 2003 was in the recent history probably the worst tragedy of fire loss. It was at the Station Nightclub in West Warwick, Rhode Island.
And I remember this. You guys know I'm a music guy.
Yeah.
It was Great White, the heavy metal band Great White was playing a show, and some idiot decided that it would be a good idea to use their arena style pyrotechnics in a club.
And another thing that is interesting there is that there was a film crew there.
Yeah.
They were filming for a documentary piece on nightclub safety.
Oh,
ironically enough, no.
Oh, gee.
But that place was not sprinklered, and the pyrotechnics set off that acoustic foam that I know of. This is the good stuff, but I remember back in the days that stuff would go up like, you know, whatever. So lit all those interior finishes on fire, filled it with smoke. They had choked down the exits because that's how they carted people when they came in.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
And there was staff people that were saying, no, you can't use this exit. This is for the band. And that turned around. But anyway, there was 100 people that died in that. And a lot of them were in a crush trying to get to the exits.
Oh.
So I started thinking back to when we were younger as I can remember. And it's many owners ago, so it's okay to say. But it's like, boy, I remember partying at the upstairs room.
Mm-hmm.
And other places, and we've all been places, and I'm sure Rich, you've been to enough music venues or clubs or whatever where you kind of get that little hair on the back of your neck thinking, what if something happened here?
And in major clubs, First Avenue in Minneapolis, you start to look around going, man, there's a lot of people in here, and I know every door in this joint.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to be close to a door.
Maryland does not like it when we go out somewhere. We went to a restaurant last weekend that was outside the fire district. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you looking? Oh, you're not looking. Of course I'm looking at, are the fire exits blocked? How would I get out of here?
Yep.
And so I just wanted to challenge folks that, and I've said this at other training sessions, is if you know what's going on, you're a helper.
Sure.
And that was that famous Mr. Rogers quote when his mom was explaining to him when something bad happened, as she said, look for the helpers. And so I just wanted to challenge people to be aware of your surroundings. When you go in, I always look, it's like, oh, this building has a sprinkler system. That's nice. I look at, in restaurants, a lot of times you'll go in and you'll see like the extra booster chairs down at the end and that exit by the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
just to know where it is that you could go and how you would get out of there. And so if you can come up with your own plan, and so really, you know, of all those A occupancies, there's the everything's from churches, synagogues, mosques, bars, nightclubs, restaurants, to auditoriums, stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Those bigger venues are probably the safest because they've gone through the whole planning. And so it's being aware of your surroundings when it's a smaller, you know, a restaurant, a club, whatever, because it isn't something that people are always thinking about. I remember going up to the St. Olaf Christmas Festival, not last year, but the year before. And when I used to work up there, I was thinking, oh, and they asked me to come through and do a walkthrough with staff. And when I got there, they said, okay, these people, this is how we run this. There are students that are ushers that are sitting up in the bleachers, and if something happens, they have a flashlight and they have a vest. Those people are called crowd managers,
yep.
And that's a requirement by code. You can do whatever else you're doing, whether you're wait staff or a bus person or something, but have the training to know that if something happens, people are going to look for you to say, what do we do?
Right.
Another thing that St. Olaf Christmas Fest does is, and it's Melissa Owsley's voice, a fellow WCAL alum, is she gives the announcement at the beginning about turn your cell phones and everything, and it's all recorded. But she also says, which is a code requirement for assembly occupancies, more than 300 people, where are your exits? Just like on the plane, they may be behind you. And so they nailed it. They have all those things that they've developed since I left about how to run a big crowd. And so part of the work that we're going to be doing in NAFRS this year is with any assembly occupancy we're going to go through, and we're also going to help them develop a plan to say, here's what your folks should know, here's what your staff should know in case something happens. And another thing that people think about is that, oh, well, this tent is never going to start on fire.
Right,
or things like that. And there was something in the news recently that I saw where there were some people injured in a crush because someone set off pepper spray.
What?
Dinking around, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, or a smoke bomb or something. So it doesn't have to be some big crisis. It can be something stupid that people go and panic.
Yep.
And that causes it. So don't let yourself say, oh, this will never happen. Is that some of those things will happen and can happen and do happen. So
as you can see, Tom has taken this job fairly seriously.
And we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And is changing, you know, fire safety is not just a revenue generator.
No.
It is way beyond that. And even businesses downtown have been asked, can I see your latest, you know,
fire
inspection?
Inspection.
Sure. And they go, deer in the headlights? Huh?
Right, right.
And it's safety.
It is not something, you know, I've going to try really hard not to throw any of my employers under the bus, but it's not something actually I've talked about as somebody who works in some of those assembly areas, right? We didn't, in fact, I don't remember ever having a conversation at any of the establishments where I've worked about, well, this is what you need to do in case there's a fire. This is how you need to direct people out or whatever. It's in, and you know, it's just something that it's good that you're bringing it up. Chief.
And it's, I think a lot of it is, it's, you know, nobody's doing this maliciously.
Of
it's
course
that
not.
You don't think about it. I mean, I was at a music venue in town, and more people kept showing up, and it was a great performance. And so then staff kept bringing in more of those rolly carts of chairs.
Yeah.
And we've all been that. I mean, it doesn't really happen as much anymore, but I remember Christmas Eve or Easter church. Oh, the ushers line the aisles
yep.
with more chairs.
Yep.
Well, and then let's hand out candles too. So yeah. So basically, all you know, the main thing that we're trying to do is educate people that are going to restaurants or bars or nightclubs, and also staff to think about what would happen if.
Right.
Right. And hopefully to look at the lens of, no, it doesn't have to be some big major thing.
Right.
I showed a video at a Carleton symposium that Elizabeth Hasse put together. She's on our board for the colleges as they get ready for events in the coming year. And I found this video of, and we've all got them. We've got that drunk uncle or a brother-in-law or, you know, whatever. And he's walking around, and they decided sparklers would be fun.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's doing the jig and ends up setting up some dry flowers on fire at the entrance of the tent. And then they come and put it out, and his wife grabs him, and there's no words, but I'm sure she's like, okay, we're going home.
Right.
You've
right.
ruined it.
Yeah. Well done.
And so
Bill.
It doesn't take some major malicious thing to have something happen where people can panic. And we're not even going to go down the whole, you know, everyone's at a heightened state right now with all the stuff we see in the news. And so panic can happen. Mm-hmm. And so look at where you're going and look at how you'd get out and be a helper. So once you do know, you can say, hey, look, let's go this way. Let's go this way. Or if there's something that you see when you're out and about, it's that do something, see something, say something. Yeah, that's what it is. Mention it to the person, you know, the manager, and say, hey, you know, I just noticed that you've got a bunch of booster chairs in back. Remember, that's our fire exit. And, you know, they may just nod their head or whatever. And you can also always, every city, for the most part, has some type of fire inspection or complaint response.
Right.
That's by code. And so you can always let someone know or let the building official know. Mike Morehouse and I work in concert, and sometimes he'll get a complaint and I'll go take a look at it and we'll say, hey, let's make a change here.
You know, if I can just make the observation just to play off of what Brad was saying, this is the difference between a part-time fire chief and a full-time fire chief, this renewed effort on prevention and inspection. I mean, we've had great people in your position before, Tom, but it's now we've as a city, as a community, have decided to give you the time to.
Well, that's it. It's not. It's not. It's just the time.
Yeah.
There isn't a time to be looking deeply into these kind of things if you're trying to do another job.
Right. Right. All right. Guys, anything else we want to talk about before I send you on your way back out into the blizzard?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, you can stick around if you want to.
Brad, as a fellow man of stature like me and at a certain age where we are working at cardiac health, what are a couple things that in the snow that you would want to remind people that we talked about?
Don't over shovel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it always happens. It's like this stuff happens when my kids are all either at college or, you know. So the training that you've passed on to the next generation is lost. But the other thing is, you know, everyone had been doing a really good job of keeping their hydrants clear around town. And so, of course, they're going to fill up now. But this is a fairly shovelable snow. It's not the Widowmaker kind of thing.
Right.
And also, just slips and falls are big. We're not going to go there, Brad. But the
gee, thanks.
I mean, the snow on top, because we had that big melt underneath. There's snow on top. Just be careful.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the big thing. All right. Brad Ness, the chair of the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Board, and Tom Nelson, our fire chief. Guys, thanks for coming in. It's always a good conversation. Always.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
You've done really well going solo. I think you'll be glad to have Jeff come back.
I will be very glad to have Jeff
back. Monday? When does he
He'll be back on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's going to have a story about sitting through an earthquake. So it's going everyone needs to tune in on Monday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
That's the teaser. All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.